भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 45. Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavan Yena Gamyate Akhyane Asmin Samamnatam Adhyatmikam Ashesata Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavan Nena Gamyate Akhyanesmin Samamatam Adhyatmikam Asheshataha Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavan Yena Gamyate Akhyanesmin Samamnatam Adhyatmikam Asheshataha Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavan Yena Gamyate Akhyanesmin Samamnatam Adhyatmikam Asheshataha Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavanina Gamyate Akhyane Sinatam Seshataha Ladies, Dharma, religious principles, Bhagavatanam of the devotees, Cha and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yena, by which, Gamyate, one can understand, Akhyane, in the narration, Asmin, this Samamnatam is perfectly described. Adhyatmikam, transcendence. Aseshataha, without reservations. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavad Dharma. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. Purport. Through the principles of religion, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, and Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Lord. When one is well conversant with all these principles, he becomes a devotee and performs Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad Maharaj, the spiritual master, in the line of the cyclic succession, advised that this Bhagavad Dharma be instructed to students from the very beginning of their education. Kamarat acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. To understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the real purpose of education. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One must simply hear about and describe Lord Vishnu and his various incarnations. This narration concerning Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadev, therefore, has properly described spiritual transcendental subjects. Om Jnanata Manandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kurtavacha Lang Pangun Lang Hayategrim Yat Kripata Raham Bande Shikarum Lena Taranam Vanchakapati Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavani Vyavaisnave Vyavanamonama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhara Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that living entity should learn about Dharma, about God, from the very beginning of their education. Unfortunately, throughout the world, people can't learn about God from the very beginning, secular state. I remember when I was a child, we used to pray to God in school, but then they took it out. You can't do that. No. So it's all over the world, it's like that. You can't learn about God in public schools. Srila Prabhupada said this is actually violence, because the living entity can hear about God and can understand something of God, but because of the modern society, they don't want this, because it's more and more atheism. So they're not giving them the opportunity to hear about God. So this is actually violence, Prabhupada explains. So, fortunately, we've received this transcendental knowledge, and we can give it out to people, and people are benefiting. Yesterday I was distributing books at the Hollywood Farmers Market, and I approached one gentleman from Australia, and he was so happy to get Science of Self-Realization, because he said, I'm on a spiritual quest now. And unfortunately, you don't get much information in modern society for learning about God and spiritual life. So I told him, well, I'm out here to meet you today. So he got a nice Science of Self-Realization, gave a nice donation. And he lives near one of our temples, actually, in Melbourne. So many people are searching for what is the right thing to do. And this is Dharma, religious principles. Nehayat karma dharmaya naviragare kapate. The tirtapada sevaya jivan api matohisaha. If one's work does not bring one to Dharma, if one's Dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to love of God, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So, how is one's work supposed to bring one to Dharma? I was meditating on this. We all have different natures. Some of us are managers. Some of us are preachers. Some of us like to clean. Some of us like to cook, different things. So we find our nature, and then we do service with that particular nature that we have, and try to do that service for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever it is we're doing, do it for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is our particular dharma. And at the same time, we're meant to become renounced, detached from this. Whatever dharma, whatever duty we have, we're meant to become detached from material sense gratification, from material life in general. And again, we're so fortunate. We're getting so much information in Prabhupada's books about the absolute truth and about why we should be renounced and why we should become attached to Krishna. See, we're not just into renunciation. Like a lot of people are just into renunciation, so-called yogis. But we also want to become very attached to Krishna. So the information that we're given helps us to become detached from material life and to become attached to Krishna. Satang prasang gang mamavirya sangvaro bhavanti vatkarana rasayana kata tadyosana dasva pavarga vartmani shudhavatir bhakti anukramishyati. That this hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees is very, very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. It's very pleasing. And from this hearing about Krishna, one becomes liberated. We become detached from material life simply by hearing. Srimvatam sva katha Krishna punya shravana kirtana vriyantasto yavadrani Vidinoti Suhitsatang, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Super Soul, in the hearts of all living entities, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire from material enjoyment from the devotee who simply relishes his messages. So just see how kind Krishna is. All we have to do is hear and relish. And Krishna cleanses the heart. It's kind of inconceivable how, I mean, I think about this, how my heart can be completely clean. There's so much lust and greed and envy, and it's just inconceivable how I'm going to become clean. But Krishna can do anything. So he can even clean our hearts. But the thing is, we just have to keep hearing. Keep hearing, keep chanting, keep serving with patience. And eventually, will become liberated. And then, rati, we get a taste. We get a taste for serving Krishna, for chanting Hare Krishna, for hearing about Krishna. And we don't want to do anything else. And now people, they have a taste for so many materialistic things, movies and TV, but there's no satisfaction. There's no real satisfaction there. But this Krishna consciousness philosophy, it's so nice that we can hear over and over and over and over again, and still it's nectar. Still it's nice. This is the nature of topics about Krishna. It's ever fresh. Krishna was blessed by Sandipani Muni that whatever you speak will be ever fresh. So, this is the nature of topics about Krishna, ever fresh. So we should pray for this taste. And Krishna, he'll give us this taste for Krishna consciousness. There's so many devotees traveling around the world, preaching the glories of Krishna, inspiring devotees all around the world. Yeah. They have a taste for hearing the glories of Krishna. Shraddha, Ratir, Bhakti. And from this taste, then eventually, we get love for Krishna. It's there, actually. It's already there. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kavanu, Shravanadi Sudhigiti, Korya Yudhoi. It's there. It's just in a dormant stage. Just like there's so many mines, these diamond mines, and there's gold mines. So there's wealthy, very expensive, valuable diamonds deep in the mountains, and they have to dig and dig and dig, and eventually, if they're expert archaeologists, they can find the diamonds and the gold. But it's covered. It just has to be uncovered. So similarly, if we become expert in our devotional practices, then we'll uncover. Will remove all these modes of nature and lust and greed and anger and all this contamination, and we'll find that pure love for Krishna. This is the jewel, a very valuable jewel. Prema dhanavana vyati daridra jivan dasikari vitanamore deha prema dana. I think I mentioned this not too long ago, but it's a very nice verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if one does not have this jewel of love of Krishna in one's life, then one is considered to be very poor, poverty-stricken. I was speaking to one gentleman the other day at Santa Monica Promenade, and I was explaining to him that if you read this book, The Science of Self-Realization, you'll become very, very wealthy spiritually. You'll become satisfied. There's so many millionaires in this world that are unhappy. There's billionaires in this world that are unhappy. But if you get spiritual knowledge, then you'll be completely satisfied. I said, okay, I'm into it. I'm going to read it. So this is where the real satisfaction is in serving Krishna. This is the pleasure of the soul. So here it's also mentioned, Bhagavan. Bhagavan means he who has six opulences: beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, knowledge. So Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is so attractive that not only is his body attractive, but anything in connection to Krishna is attractive. His name is attractive. And therefore there's devotees that chant Hare Krishna practically all day long. I was just in Dallas recently, and the president there chants 64 rounds a day. I mean, I think he's the only manager in our society that chants, imagine that, Savas, chanting 64 rounds. Nityananda Prabhu. So he's got a taste for chanting the holy name. Yeah. Why? Why is it? And Haridas Thakur, 300,000 names a day, practically all day long chanting. Well, how is that possible? because they have a taste. Yeah. I remember we were in a Harinam here in Santa Monica Promenade, and one person walked by us and he said, "You know, you guys are boring." Yani Sarabhutanam. Right? What they think is boring, we think it's ecstatic. And what they're thinking is very nice, we think is boring. So what he did, probably just went around the corner and went to a bar or some movie or something. So we think that's boring. Right? Very boring. We can't imagine. Well, then they go to some restaurant and eat meat. Devotees just disgusted. I mean, there's many devotees in our society, I'm sure, that if someone handed them a hamburger and said, "Listen, if you eat this hamburger, I'll give you $1 billion. I mean, most devotees, some might get a little shaky. You know? But most devotees would just say, "No, no, you keep your hamburger. You keep your $1 billion too. I mean, I don't want to displease Krishna." Yeah, because they know that would be displeasing to Krishna. And a devotee only wants to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna is pleased when we chant his holy names. When Radharani hears us chanting the names of Krishna, oh, she becomes very happy. She's ecstatic. And when Krishna hears us chanting Hare, Radharani, oh, he becomes very pleased. And then we get the mercy of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Yeah. So everything about Krishna is attractive. Yeah. His name, Prasadam, very attractive. Prabhupada said this is our secret weapon. Yeah. The Prasadam. Everybody's attracted to Prasad. And his form is very attractive. Therefore, it's described that there's eight parts of Krishna's body that resemble a lotus flower. His two eyes, his two hands, his two feet, his face, and his navel. And 25 and a half parts of his body resemble the moon. 20 nails, all his nails are very attractive. Nails are generally not very attractive, right? Sometimes they try to make them attractive. People, they paint their nails, make them attractive. It used to be just the women do it, but now you see the men are also there painting their nails to make them look attractive. You don't have to paint Krishna's nails. Krishna's nails are always attractive, like moon, beautiful. Inconceivable how beautiful Krishna's nails are. And his face also resembles a moon. His two cheeks also, they resemble the moon. Then the sandalwood paste on his head resemble the moon. And his forehead, half his forehead, very attractive. And therefore the gopis, they cursed Lord Brahma. Not only cursed him, but they just considered him to be like a dunce. It's described in the Nectar Devotion. He's like a dunce. It's a pretty heavy word to say, you know. It means stupid. And because he made these eyes with eyelids, they blinked. We couldn't see Krishna for that moment. You know? I mean, all of us are blinking our eyes so many times during this class, we don't even notice. But Krishna is so attractive that they noticed that little fraction of a second. They couldn't see Krishna. So beautiful. Yeah. And Krishna is attractive flute playing. He's like there's so many musicians in this world, throughout the universes. But Krishna is the best musician. When I distribute books sometimes, I show them a picture of Krishna. And I ask them, "Have you heard of Krishna?" "Oh yeah, I've heard of Krishna." I tell them, "He jams on the flute." "Oh, okay, he plays the flute good." So Krishna's the best at flute playing. It's described that when the non-moving entities hear Krishna's flute, they move. The stones, they melt. Yeah. You ever see any stones melting when someone plays the guitar or a saxophone? Or but Krishna plays the flute, stones melt. Yeah. And the moving entities, they stop. The rivers stop. Imagine that. Yeah. The rivers stopping. Yeah. And the deers, they stop. They perk their ears. Oh. And all the gopis, everyone stops. Imagine hearing the flute of Krishna. So attractive. So everything about Krishna is very attractive. So beauty, wealth, Krishna is also very wealthy. He owns everything. He creates everything, so he also, it's natural, he owns everything. We may think that we own something, and it appears like we might, temporarily, but the reality is, we don't own anything. We're born in this world with nothing but our desires. And we leave this world with nothing but our desires. But if we leave this world with a desire to serve Krishna, then we leave this world very wealthy. We came into this world kind of poor, with all our karma and all our contamination built up on us. But if we can leave this world with one desire to just serve Krishna, we leave this world as the wealthiest. Yeah. And what is the result? We go back to Krishna. Yeah. This is the goal of life, to go back to Krishna. This is where we'll be satisfied. Prabhupada gives the example of the fish. You take a fish out of water. You give him a nice home, nice food, lots of money. No, you won't be satisfied. Not until he goes back into the ocean. So this is why people are so dissatisfied, because they're not in the ocean of the nectar of devotion to Krishna. It's like one of the things I say when I distribute books, I ask the people, do you ever feel stress? And many of them say, all the time. This is the main disease in the world now, you know, stress. And from stress, so many other diseases. But this is the main disease. People are very stressed out. So I tell them, you see this book here? It will help you become free of stress. Okay, how much do you want? And it's a fact. Because when they read these books, they'll read about the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And they'll hear the glories of Krishna. So this brings about satisfaction. Satisfaction to the heart. Satisfaction to the mind. Yeah. So Krishna is the wealthiest, is the most beautiful, he's the most knowledgeable. Vedaham samati tani vartamanani charjana vivishyani chibhutani mamtavedana kashyana. Krishna says, I know everything that's happened in the past. I know everything that's going to happen in the future, and everything that's happening right now. Yeah. This is God. Like I was distributing books once, and I asked the guy, so what kind of work do you do? He said, well, I'm God. Okay. Pretty big position you got there. So I said, well, one of the characteristics of God is that he knows everything. So can you tell me what I'm thinking? He said, yes, you're thinking that I am a rascal. I said, that's pretty good, you're right. But I was also thinking of a number. Can you tell me that? He said, no. So there's so many cheaters. Just like I was recently in London. And there is one devotee there who's not a Prabhupada disciple, but he was posing as a Prabhupada disciple. he was telling the devotees that he's a Prabhupada disciple. So I had to tell the president, actually, sorry to tell you this, but he's not a Prabhupada disciple. So this is the nature of this world, the cheaters and the cheated. You know, try to get some respect or some honor, some position. So we had to be very careful. This is one of the, this is the nature, you know, that we have these, this fault of Prabhupada said, being cheated also. Some people want to cheat and some people want to be cheated. So one devotee, he told me, he said, I studied so many swamis before coming to Krishna consciousness. But when I met Prabhupada, I could see, here's a person that's not going to cheat me. So again, we're very fortunate that we've landed in this wonderful Hare Krishna movement where Prabhupada is just concerned about our welfare, going back home, back to Godhead. So beauty, wealth, strength, Krishna is so strong. He's called Satya Sankalpa, which means that whatever he wants, it just happens. So powerful. Just like these planets are so heavy. Can you imagine how much this planet weighs? I mean, how many millions of tons? And it's just floating around in the atmosphere. How is that? It's the will of Krishna. I remember once I was visiting my family members. They all live here in Los Angeles. I was visiting them on Christmas Eve. And this one particular Christmas Eve, it was a full moon. So I was telling my family members how amazing it is that there's some astronomers. They wanted to figure out when the next full moon would be on Christmas Eve. So they got their calculators out and they figured out when the next full moon would be on Christmas Eve. And they found out it'd be like, I don't know, 100, I forgot, maybe 100 years, 110 years, something. So I was explaining to them, just see how synchronized these planets are. They could figure out when the next full moon is going to be. That's amazing. Yeah? Far out. So I have one family member there. He's an atheist. And he didn't like this conversation. So he shouted at me, "It's law!" I just ignored him and continued speaking to my other religious family members. And then again he shouted at me, "It's law!" And then finally I said, "Yes, it is law. It's God's law." He said, "God's law? I thought it was Newton's law." Law of gravity. So I said to him, "Was the law there before Newton?" And he wouldn't answer me. So I repeated, "Was the law there before Newton?" He still wouldn't answer me. So finally I said, "Was the law there before Newton?" "Yes." So, yeah, Krishna, it's by Krishna's arrangement. All these, not only this, millions of planets are just floating around. It's like amazing. So powerful Krishna is. So strong. And he lifted Govardhan Hill. That's just a small section of this planet, but it's pretty amazing. You know, just a small child lifting Govardhan Hill. So powerful. So Krishna, he holds the record for the weightlifting, you know, championship on the planet. You know. Not many people recognize that, but Krishna is very powerful. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame. Krishna is very famous. Yeah, it's like, I don't go to movies, so I don't know who's famous now. I was speaking to one student at the university, and I was explaining to him that I'm a monk, I don't go to movies. Somehow we started talking about that, and he said, "You don't go to movies?" I said, "No, I haven't been to a movie in 30 years. So he tested me. He said, "Have you ever heard of Tom Cruise?" No idea. Having the vaguest idea who that is. And his jaw like hit the ground. Like, You don't know Tom Cruise? Never heard his name before. Just couldn't believe it. He kind of appreciated that, you know, that there's people that never heard of these famous movie stars. But Krishna is much more famous than Tom Cruise. Who hasn't heard of God? Maybe some people in China. Actually, now in China, there's no word for God. You can't say God in the Chinese language. So demoniac. You know? Can you imagine that? You can't say the word God in the Chinese language. Inconceivable. Yeah. So, despite that, he's still the most famous. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation. Also, Krishna is so renounced. He's so renounced that when Krishna played his flute, the gopis became so attracted to him. And many of them, they left their homes. And some, they couldn't leave their home. And it's described that because they couldn't leave their home, they left their body out of separation. Imagine that. So attached to Krishna, so attracted to Krishna, they left their body. But these gopis that did go out, they were with Krishna in the hills of Vrindavan. And when they finally reached Krishna, Krishna told them, what are you girls out here so late for? You know, it's dark, there's wild animals out here, it's dangerous, you should go home. Go home, what are you doing out here? It's not good. It's dangerous. Imagine that. These are the most beautiful women in all the creation. So Krishna is telling them, go home. You shouldn't be out here. That's pretty renounced. And even Bhishma, he said, I'm famous as the most renounced, the most authentic brahmachari. But I could not do what Krishna did. I could not be out in the dead of night with the most beautiful woman on the planet and tell them to go home. I couldn't do that. So Krishna's the best brahmachari also. It's very, very renounced. On that note, is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Archita Prabhu, the microphone is just now coming.
Hi, Bob.
There we go.
Thank you for a wonderful class, especially for sharing your Sankirtan experiences. But you did leave the audience hanging. You only gave 24 and a half of the 25 and a half. You said the 20 nails, the face, the cheeks, the forehead. The forehead is a half.
Okay.
And the dots on the forehead are also a moon. But that's 24 and a half. There's
24
one missing.
24 and a half. All right, let me wreck my brain here. The face. The navel. Did I say the navel?
No.
I think the navel also is resembling the moon. Boy, Archita is he's a good listener, huh? I was testing to see if anybody was listening, yeah. No, I think that's it. Anything else? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.